So there's a real urgency from the get-go, really, to get the men's NRL comp back and running. But why hasn't there been the same urgency for the women's comps?
Yeah, very interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, just for the listeners who don't know, certainly the NRL has really taken some leadership finally about, you know, promoting women's rugby league over the past, I suppose, 5 years, but particularly in the past 2 years. And suddenly that all disappears without trace. I mean, I'm not saying that the comp will never happen, but it's suddenly all of, it's suddenly revealed that it's really all about male sport. So I find very interesting.
And, I mean, the NRL aren't the only ones to kind of blame here. I mean, you look at the AFLW in the last couple of years, they've done also made huge strides, but they've literally just cancelled the comp altogether. They haven't suspended it. They just said, no, there's only 2 weeks to go, so we're just doing it. I mean, I don't know. What's the kind of speculation for this? I mean, for the three big codes, for Union, League and AFL, I mean, I'm talking specifically about those codes here. I don't know. What's the speculation here? Why do you think that they just are prioritising men's sport?
Well, I mean, I just think that this is a really deeply ingrained cultural thing in Australia. And, you know, there's this perception that really body contact sport is male. And it, this ignores the fact that women make up 50% of the fan base, that girls and women play these codes, that when you actually put women's comps on, there is a big, you know, there's a big audience for them.
Yeah.
So I think it's really to do with a set of deeply ingrained cultural ideas that really that men own those sports. And I mean, I don't know what it's going to take to change that. Certainly we know that young women want to play body contact sport and are starting young in primary school playing. And, you know, I think there's also a kind of media bias, because a lot of what drives our perception of sport is the way it's covered in the media. And, you know, there are a lot of, you know, when you look at who are the editors and writers, who are the producers and the reporters, they're still overwhelmingly dominantly men.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so ingrained, and I find it very, very frustrating. I mean, even, you know, if we didn't have this whole COVID-19, myself as someone who plays rugby and who watches rugby, my sister and I, we find it very, very frustrating that, you know, it doesn't get announced in the press or anything like that. But something else I wanted to kind of bring up with you as well. I mean, one of the, you know, obviously there's been a lot of industries that have taken a hard hit. Do you think it's also maybe a money thing for them?
Oh, it's hugely dominated by a money thing. I mean, you know, this has been kind of disastrous for the NRL and the AFL in many ways. I mean, they're putting a bright face on it, but it's made, you know, it's put a huge hole in their bottom line. And so, you know, it's absolutely about money. And let's face it, this is the other thing that really drives sport. It's not just a set of cultural attitudes. And, you know, the sense, you know, the ownership the fans feel, it's very much about money. It's that, you know, these things are big global businesses.
Yeah. I mean, you've worked extensively on gender and sport, specifically with your time in the NRL. I mean, does this surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me. You know, but I'm an optimist. You can't be a feminist without being an optimist, I reckon.
Yeah, that's a good note to leave it on. Catherine, as always, absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, you too.